Scrupulosity is a subtype of obsessive compulsive disorder. There are different ways that OCD manifests, and the ways that people generally think about are washing hands, things like that. But for some people, their OCD wraps around religious and moral matters, things that they care about deeply, and the OCD starts to take their normal beliefs and it wraps it around in a way that actually ends up distorting and hurting their ability to practice their faith. And for Christian people with OCD, OCD thrives on uncertainty. Well, guess what? In a life where we walk by faith, we have the reality that we're dealing with uncertainty. And so what happens is OCD says, I cannot have uncertainty. I have to know everything for sure. Well, it ends up taking normal faith and twisting it around. OCD doesn't want you to have that sense of closure. What happens is that OCD interferes with our ability to think the way we want to think and feel the way that we want to feel. And what ends up happening is they start doing an obsessive search for that feeling. And then they start thinking about, oh no, what if I don't have that feeling? Well, what if I didn't repent right? During a sermon, let's say the sermon is on pride, and a person says, okay, you know, is there pride in my life? Well, a person without OCD and a person with OCD related to these things might handle that very differently. The person with OCD is going to have difficulty letting that question go, meaning I like to use the thought of having a mental coat hook so that, you know, we examine ourselves and say, hey, I wonder how that applies to me. Okay, I need to do better in this area. And then we put that question or that concern on the mental coat hook, and then we move on with going about our day. As opposed to somebody with OCD who can't go on. That question plagues them. That question is ongoing, and they keep trying to find the coat hook, but they can't. Sometimes people have intrusive thoughts. Oftentimes, intrusive thoughts are things like, what if I committed the unpardonable sin, for example? And that thought kind of slams into the thought stream, makes them very anxious, and then as a compulsion, go on a search to find out exactly what the unpardonable sin is. So they ask the, you know, people over and over and Google it and things of that nature, trying to get absolute certainty on it. What ends up happening is OCD will drive that person down a rabbit trail instead of focusing back on who is Jesus and let's move forward. One of the things that OCD will do is it will push us to strain at the obscure instead of focusing wholeheartedly right in the middle of the gospel. One of the things that I don't want to do is I don't want to paint a picture that says if somebody has a spiritual question or feels angst, it automatically means they have a mental disorder called OCD. The fact is, as human beings, we have a lot of reasons that sometimes we feel off spiritually. Sometimes it's just a period of dryness that Christians go through. Other times it is because we're not in the Word and we're not seeking after the Lord. Sometimes it's because we've got something in our life that we haven't addressed. So there's no intent here to overlook the obvious, and that is if there's a spiritual issue, we want to deal with, give it a spiritual solution. But when somebody has scrupulosity as a subform of OCD, they have tried all of the things that believers would have already done. And so, for example, somebody may have the thought, you know, oh man, you know what, am I truly saved? Well, it's one thing if that person has a thought like that and they remind themselves, you know what, I believe in Jesus, I shared my, I have a testimony of faith, you know, and I go forward. And they just remind themselves about the truth of the gospel and their walk with the Lord, and they go forward and it's done. But with people with scrupulosity, the feelings of doubt are very prevalent. And not only are they prevalent, their ability to feel and discern the difference between peacefulness and doubt is really skewed. In fact, if we could see their brain in a brain scanner, the error detection circuit in their brain is stuck on in that particular place. Somebody's coming up to the time to take communion, and it's a time to just remember the Lord, what He's done for us, to think about where we can grow. You know, it's a wonderful time. Theologically, sometimes people accidentally start thinking about it like, oh, I've got to make myself perfect. And we gotta think about that and say, no, wait a minute, we need to grow in our sanctification here. We're trying to grow, but communion isn't about making ourselves perfect enough to get there to take it. So we want to understand what it is and deal with it correctly, biblically. But somebody with OCD is going to be looking at that. They'll have had someone explain that to them. They'll have adequate knowledge of that and still be struggling with this like, oh no, what if I feel this? Oh no, what if I can't take communion? As they get closer to the time of communion, more and more things just pop up. It's kind of like it feels to them as if, oh no, what about this and what about this? The reality is that this for the scrupulous is a battle about the feelings. And this is where our adversary, Satan, would love to take advantage of these kind of things. He doesn't want anyone to be encouraged or strengthened by a time of communion with their Lord and with their brothers and sisters at church. And so what's he going to do? He gets that person in the weeds on, oh, no, what if I'm not perfect enough? Oh, no, I have this feeling. Oh, no, yes, I've confessed and forsaken this 63 times, but I'm not sure it's enough. And that's where the thing we have to remember is that ultimately, both in the spiritual sense, but also in OCD treatment, we would say it is a matter of faith that we walk forward. Confession is an important part of just a Christian life. It is part of God's way that we are supposed to deal with sin and how we're supposed to interact with one another. I think the key here is to remember that ultimately my belief is that God is the one that has forgiven. He is faithful to forgive that. One of the first temptations is to think, oh no, now do I feel forgiven? If I feel forgiven, then I am forgiven. Or if I don't quite feel forgiven, I better swing around and do that again. Another thing that starts to happen, particularly with individuals with OCD, is that confession and reconfessing or even proactive confession sometimes is a way for them to get a sense of a little reset or a click, like, okay, I'm okay. Sometimes it is actually more about trying to relieve themselves of a feeling. OCD is going to lead somebody to confess the same thing multiple times. Sometimes people will feel like, well, I didn't confess at all, and they will be confessing obscure details. Folks on the obsessive-compulsive spectrum are going to be going, oh, you know what, I think maybe I tried to make myself sound innocent, or maybe I didn't, maybe I wasn't sorry enough, or maybe I didn't. And they'll kind of get into this thing called motive doubting, and they'll even be confessing very obscure details. People will sometimes avoid reading their Bible, avoid prayer. Sometimes people will avoid church because they're not sure they can do it right. Whenever the anxiety about getting it right leads a person to either need to repeat or avoid, When we say that somebody's unscrupulous, it means that they don't have a conscience or they're out there doing what's wrong. But the scrupulous are seeing or concerned about sin when there really isn't any, or when they are concerned to an extent that they will overdo and redo things in a way that where it loses the point of why we would do that particular thing. Remember this, with people with scrupulosity, it ends up being driven by the uncertainty, did I do it right, will I experience punishment, as opposed to I'm doing this because I love God, I want to bless another person. One of the first challenges in dealing with people with scrupulosity is sometimes they don't recognize it as a problem. Oftentimes, people come into counseling because somebody in their life who has been trying to give them advice, who keeps getting these repetitive confessions. And oftentimes it's those other people that are so key in helping that person to be able to say, wait a minute, it's typical to do, you know, this part. It's not typical to do that. I am no way I'm trying to diminish somebody's spiritual walk or the importance of the Word, importance of the Holy Spirit, those kind of things. The problem is when another feature is coming in and it's actually blocking somebody's ability to live out their faith. Early on, one of the things I want to do is help somebody understand that obsessive-compulsive cycle so that they can know how to fight the battle correctly. If you felt anxiety touching that thing, and then you felt relief by washing that thing, well, just wash that thing. Our natural response will accidentally fuel the obsessive-compulsive cycle. So what we're actually looking toward is moving away from saying, I'm going to respond in my faith based on whatever my feelings do, to I'm going to move in the direction of what my faith in this Word tells me to do. It is helping the person to step back from using their emotions to confirm the truth or not. What we're actually remembering is that our faith is not what we feel. Our faith is in what we believe and who we believe. My belief is in Jesus. What ends up happening in OCD is because we become very attuned to the anxiety sensations we feel in our body and our mind. And so we're actually trying to make sure we don't feel this sense of unease. It's very understandable that somebody could fall into that. And the reason is most of the time, when our body says it's anxious, that's because there's something going on in our life that says, hey, this is kind of scary. Yeah. In an OCD, something that doesn't need to set off the alarm bells is setting off the alarm bells, or it's setting it off to a degree that is beyond what is needful. I love Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. But at the end of the day, the real question is, who is my faith in? And if my faith is in Jesus for His shed blood, His resurrection, His cleansing of my life, and His power in my life, then you know what? Yes, I am at peace with God. And I know I'm at peace with God because of Romans 5, verse 1. So that when their emotions go up or down in life, what they actually go back to is the Word, not a feeling. One of the places that OCD really likes to attach itself to is just motives in general, and something called motive doubting. That can be along the lines of, did I tell the truth? Was I proud? The thoughts can skitter across anybody's mind, whether or not they have OCD or not. But the person with OCD is not able to unstick themselves from that thought. That thought just rolls on. And so, you know, what if my motives weren't pure? There is a lot of analysis of the thoughts. And the more analyzing that somebody does, trying to analyze, well, is this a problem? Is it not a problem? Things that they misunderstand what we would say is a healthy self-examination and go into this analysis that is just really a binding experience. Think of it this way, that if when somebody is thinking through something in a productive way, I'm going to think about it and I'm going to kind of move down the line, and over time I discern that. OCD is circular. So you started at the 10-yard line, but then as you thought through it and you thought and thought and thought and thought, at the end of thinking, whether it was 5 minutes, 5 hours, or 5 days, you're back to where you began. And so what we're really trying to do is help them to be able to come to a place of rest and to not go into all of the different rituals and compulsions, because with scrupulosity, it wants to twist that God image. It wants them to see God as kind of more like a divine accountant who is going to catch them being bad, who somebody who is only out to make sure that they have perfection in prayers and perfection in confession and those kind of things. We need to remember that God views things like OCD as afflictions. He is compassionate and kind towards the afflicted. God not only loves them, He can love them with their struggle. And He will help us then, as we're working on this, to be able to separate out that difference between being able to rest in His finished work on the cross, and then also out of the gratitude and out of the power that comes from that, be able to grow in our sanctification and our Christ-likeness.